We've been telling you for the past month. A lot of you been asking for this young man to be on my show for some time now. You said, Voice, you done brought everybody on your love zone. What about the teddy bear? Well, guess what? The wait is over. I have him on the phone with me right now, Mr. Teddy, the teddy bear Pendergrass. What's up, baby?
Hey, Maurice, how are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome to 90.3 FM.
Thank you. I was grooving to that la, 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 la means I love you.
Oh, yeah. Phil Perry, man. He is bad.
Yeah, he is good.
Yeah, definitely. How you been, Teddy?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
All righty. Welcome, welcome, welcome. New York City and my listeners been, you know, we've been doing a lot of things over the years, and you've been one of the most requested interviewee of all time.
Oh, well, that's nice to know. That's nice to know that people are still interested in hearing my voice and knowing that I'm alive and well.
Amen, amen, amen. And mentioning, you know, alive and well, some people, you know, I get some of the craziest emails, and I'm sure you've heard rumors. Some people have said, no, Teddy ain't around no more. I'm like, what do you mean Teddy's not around? He's alive and well and doing the mo freaking thing, man. You still down in Philadelphia?
I'm not in Philly proper. I'm outside of Philadelphia, but yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, hey.
I haven't left yet. Been here all my life, born and raised here.
Oh, man. Talking about all your life, we're going to take them back down memory lane and bring them up to the present, Teddy. You know, we're going to take them back because some people don't even know about anything prior to your solo career, so we're going to bring them up. We know you went all the way. Let's go back to that day, March 26th.
Yeah.
That very special day some years ago, man.
Yeah, a little bit now. I mean, I've got a few years on me, but I'm still doing well.
Yes, indeed. He was born, y'all, on March 26th, and I believe, did that make you a Pisces?
No, actually, it's an Aries.
You slipped past the Pisces, huh?
Yeah, I'm an Aries.
Yeah, I'm a Pisces on March 12th.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
I was trying to see if I had somebody else good in my corner.
Pisces, all right, people. I guess I don't follow astrology, but, you know, people are people, and everybody has their own ways and twists and things like that, but the people are people, and everybody's all right in their own way.
All right, well, we take you back to that day that you was born and bring you up, and you know, your mother, Ida Geraldine Epps, I believe, correct?
Well, that's her maiden name is Epps, yes.
Epps, yes, indeed, and your father, the late Jesse Pendergrass, they put together a chemistry that created, little did they know back then, one of the world's baddest love songs vocalists in the world, man.
Well, actually, I feel that it's I'm here for a purpose and for a reason, because actually my mother had, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but she had six other births that passed, that died before me, six sons that all passed, and I'm number seven and the only one that lived.
Number seven, that lucky number seven.
Yeah, so the Bible says, huh?
Amen.
And that is where it all started, so my mother promised God that if I survived, that she would serve him the rest of her life.
Mm.
And from that point, I think I had a purpose and a reason to exist on this earth. So part of that is what my history has been and where I have been and what I've done and my belief systems and the things that has happened to me in my life. So you know, I think it's all due to a higher source, and I'm very appreciative and very knowledgeable and very aware of that.
Well, you know, you started back, and I'm finding this out. A lot of good singers start out from this certain place called church.
Church. Let's get it right. It's church.
It's church.
That's right.
And, you know, and they escalate from there into, you know, the stage venture. But, I mean, what was it like? You were singing in the junior choir, the little choir. How did they develop or find your voice back then?
I didn't sing in any choir in church. I sang by myself when I was 2.5 years old.
Mm.
I remember it, actually. I was asked by the church to sing a song, so my mother told me, go ahead up. She would walk me up. So I went up, and I got on this chair that was in the front of the church, and I remember this so clear. When I got on the chair, I looked around, and my mother was kind of like halfway up. She was pretending to walk me up and just kind of let me go by myself.
Mm.
I remember saying, come on up, Mom, and she... The church laughed. I remember this. And I sang a song on the stool, or on the chair, I'm sorry, at 2.5 years old. And that's like one of the only times that I sang in church. The other times I sang like in school choirs and elementary school choir, boy, all city boys choir, things like that. So I didn't really sing in church, but my belief system and all that I am comes from my upbringing, which was the church.
Amen. Amen to that. And from that, you went on to, I mean, I know you had some drummer skills in you, and a lot of people think that Teddy just been up front all along. Like, he's never been standing in the back. They think you were just blessed and was always up in front. Little do they know that you really got started and back there on the drums. Am I correct?
Yeah, actually, from my my mother worked at a supper club. And back in the day, a supper club was where you went, had dinner, and watched the show at, during the same time period. It was just a wonderful evening out. You had dinner, and you had name artists that performed right there in what they call a supper club. Not a concert hall, but it was an adult environment. People got dressed, and they went out. It was a night out. It was a wonderful night out. But my mother worked there as a dishwasher. She would clean the floors and wash the floors and wash the dishes, things like that. And I used to accompany her to the restaurant on Saturdays because she didn't allow me to just hang out by myself. So I'd go and do dishes, or I'd go at night and do dishes with her and I'd clean up the floor and find change on the floor. And there were certain instruments that were still on the stage. One was drums, the other was a piano, because they didn't take the drums home with them every day. So on Saturdays, I would go up, go out into the showroom and see a set of drums. So one day I just decided to go up on the stage. There were no sticks, so I just decided to start playing the drums with my fingers. And that's kind of how I developed the skill, was just playing with all my own fingers and my hands, and just kind of sat there. So that developed. And yeah, I started playing at 18 years old behind a guy named Little Royal, who called himself James Brown's brother. Yeah, he used to look like James. He used to sing all of James' songs. And when you couldn't hire James Brown, you hired Little Royal.
Little Royal.
Yeah, so I left to go play with him. I auditioned and left to go play with him when I was 18 years old.
Wow. And that was the beginning of you actually doing entertainment back
then.
That
was my introduction into the true entertainment world, into really performing. I left Philadelphia, and I took a trip to Halifax, Nova Scotia. It was the first time a North Philadelphia inner city black boy got a chance to get outside the city, other than to Atlantic City or Wildwood, which was, you know, like half an hour away. So
right.
I went into a strange area, and it was exciting. It really was exciting. So that's where the bug bit me.
And then how did you stumble across Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes?
After I quit where I was and the person I was playing for, after playing around town, I was hired by a group of guys to play behind them, and Harold Melvin, who was one of the original members of a 50s doo-wop group called the Blue Notes, his group had broken up, so he was looking to replace his group and band, and he came into the club where we were playing and hired the guys, and they became the Blue Notes, and he said he liked the drummer and asked if I wanted to go, and I kind of went with them.
And from the drummer?
It was only the Blue Notes. It wasn't Harold Melvin until after a couple years, and we signed a recording agreement with Philadelphia National Records, and it became Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
And those began the days with back on the Philadelphia label with, was that with Gamble and Huff?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
No.
You know, a lot of great singers came out from that label, but you seem to emerge like really up on top, man. When they think about that label, I hear a lot of people just mention Teddy Pendergrass, you know, the Blue Notes, and your career just escalated on and on, went on performing up front. I mean, he moved from the drummer to the front, and I mean, how do you go from the drummer to being the lead singer of a group like that?
How do you do it? I don't know. I'm just a bold character. I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to be in the back too long.
Uh-oh.
And I take control of my life.
Amen.
And that's the way I've always been. I don't stand for things that I'm not comfortable with. And it's either going to be right or I'm not going to be involved. And I just kind of, you know, said that I wanted to sing up front. And, well, actually, the truth is, I had, from time to time, had to sing the show when the group was late, things of that nature, but I don't want to get into anything negative. So I said, you know, I want to be up front. I want to sing from now on. So I learned, or I found out that I could really do the job, and I had said that's what I want to do, or I'm gonna quit and go and form my own group. And I was asked by Harold if I wanted to come up front and stay with him, and I did.
Amen to that. And I mean that.
I'm leaving a lot out intentionally, because for that you have to read the book.
Hey, mention in the book now, you know.
Absolutely.
A lot of people have been asking me about a book. I got a young lady that sent me a question, and I'm going to tell you real quick, Teddy, because I know we don't have a lot of time, but we opened up the emails and internet and told some fans that didn't get a chance to call in tonight to send in some questions. And when you mention the book, I got to dig down through this pile here, and this one young lady named LaTanya Maiden that called in and said you asked him about the book. He said there's a girl back in grade school that you mentioned in this book. And she really thinks that that's her sister. Do you recall that character in the book?
Oh, heck no. No. If she thinks that's her sister, then she should be able to tell me the name.
Uh-oh. That's from LaTanya. So, hey.
Not gotta... me to guess, because the book was released in, I think, 97 or 98.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while, and I just was talking about things that occurred in my life, so... maybe she should really bring the character's name and mention the person, and if I knew her or know her or know of her or was involved or associated with her, then I would certainly say so. But I couldn't guess. There's so many people that have been involved in my life. I just couldn't guess.
Amen. Well, we'll make sure, LaTanya, make sure that you read the book. And this book is still in print, Chad?
I really don't know. You have to call Penguin Putnam in New York and ask. I mean, I do all the projects.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look back.
You don't look back. You keep on moving. Keep on moving. You know, you got a DVD that's coming out. Well, that's out right now. And it's taking them back down memory lane to a year of 1979, baby, to a concert. And when I mention the word concert, there's one thing that stands out amongst my listeners of all the concerts you've ever done, and that is the Four Ladies Only concert series.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a question. What inspired you to do a For Ladies Only concert series?
Because, like I said, I take control
of
situations. I don't sit back. And fortunately, a lot of ladies, women, beautiful women, attended my concerts.
Mm.
It had been that way since the beginning. So I just thought, well, I wonder what it would be like if I just did a concert for the women.
Just for the women.
You know, and that was a thought. And I'm not going to go through the how it was done, because I'm not trying to give other guys an idea. But
you got that patent already.
Oh.
You got a patent already. They can never do it like the teddy bear did it.
So I, you know, my management and I, we talked about it, and then we set aside a marketing strategy, and we began to do it. And it just was a wonderful, wonderful time in my life. We never said that a man couldn't come. That's illegal. But we suggested it was for women only. And what happened was a lot of ladies left them at home.
Mm.
That wasn't my doing. That was they chose.
That was their choice.
That was their choice.
Mm-mm. You listen to the sounds of Mr. Teddy Pendergrass right here on 90.3 FM. We're going to take a pause for the calls and be right back with more. And we're going to take just a few of your phone calls and let you talk to the man himself, Mr. Teddy Pendergrass. We'll be right back.
Tonight I'm in a romantic mood. Yeah. Let's take a shower. Shower together. I'll wash your body, you wash mine. Yeah. One in the world that I need.
You're listening to the great sounds of the man, the one and only Mr. Teddy Pendergrass, and he's on the Love Line live with us. And as promised, I told you we was going to open up the phone lines and take a few calls from some lucky listeners, and we're going to see who's on the Love Line. You're on live with Teddy Pendergrass. Hello.
Yes, Big R here. Illustrious Teddy.
Hi, how are you, my brother? How you doing?
All right. I wanted to know what was really within you when you went up here and did turn out the lights.
What was in me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. A number of things. A lot of feelings, a lot of emotion, a lot of wanting to make sure that I was emotionally accessible to women, that they understood that I was serious and that they could believe what I was saying was, it was my intention, it was for real. It wasn't just something to do, something to say, but that there was real emotion behind it.
Well, I truly
real
hope
desire,
you have
real effort, real an intentional, intended way to make sure that women knew that I was serious.
Well, I know one thing. You inspired.
Hello?
You inspired a whole lot through that recording.
Oh, okay.
And I hope you have a continuation one coming up soon.
Why? Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Big R. Thanks for calling, Big R.
You got it.
All right. That's Randy Simon right there in New York City, 90.3 FM. You're on live with Teddy Pendergrass.
Hey, how you doing, Maurice?
All right, who's this?
This is Frank Allen, baby.
Not the Frank Allen.
I don't know about the Frank Allen, but it's Frank Allen.
Frank, you the jazz man, Allen. What's up, baby?
How's it going?
All right, you on live with Teddy Pendergrass. Give him a shot real quick.
Hey, Teddy.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, baby?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Listen, I don't have any questions for you. I'm going to let Maurice handle that. But I just want to let you know that you really inspired me throughout the years, because I used to play your records when I was a young disc jockey.
Uh-huh.
And your records set the mood for the show a lot of times, too.
Good.
While you were giving those concerts for the ladies, I was giving the concerts for the ladies through your music.
Great. That means everything was all right. You're happy about it.
Yeah.
It worked for you.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And Maurice,
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Maurice, I got your email when I heard the fact that Mr. Pendergrass was going to be in. I said, well, let me call up and see what's happening and talk to this man and support you and
Teddy,
the show.
Teddy.
Yeah.
This man you're talking to is the man that gave me my start with the Love Zone back in 1992.
Oh, really?
Yes, indeed. I owe it all to him.
Well, that's your mentor.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Frank, for calling, baby.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care of yourself. 212-491-4685. As I promised you, we're going to let a few of you get a chance to talk to the teddy bear. And, hey, we want to let you know right now, there's a DVD that we were talking about. Right, Teddy?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that DVD real quick.
It is a DVD it's a live concert from 1979, and it was a concert I had done in, I think it was Lake Tahoe, and it's a live concert, and I think, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I think it's a pretty damn good show.
Man, it's a heck of a show, man. It's a heck of a show. I mean, you come out with the sequence. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to give it away.
You can give him a taste.
Give him a taste. I mean,
You can tease.
Just tease him. You know, and that was your forte there. You know, you had a specialty at doing that because it was something. And all I'm going to tell you, if anyone went to a Teddy Pendergrass concert, and if you was a man and you went there with your woman, first of all, that was your first mistake. And if she came there with garments on that she left the house with, 95% of the times, and they would not be on her by the end of this concert. This man had power, and if you could give me the secret to what made them just, you know, some things we can't talk about on the air, but ooh, Lord.
If I knew, I would bottle it and sell it.
You would bottle it and sell it, man.
I really don't know. It's not anything, and I mean this sincerely, not anything that I tried to do. It's not that I was pulling my clothes off and pants hanging down and rubbing between my legs and, you know, being very graphic and inappropriate and unclassy. It's just who I am. It's the person that I am, and whatever that personifies or whatever people get from seeing that or getting in coming contact with, that's, it's just, they say all natural.
All natural.
We try to do or set up or plant people in the audience to start it. You know, there's some artists that do that.
Right.
Plant people to start it so other people follow.
Can you tell me what was your first reaction when the first pair of clothing ever hit the stage in front of you?
I was shocked. Purely shocked. Actually, I was embarrassed.
Get out of here.
Embarrassed every time because, well, when people purchase the DVD, watch it.
And see.
Well, yeah.
And just see. You got to get the DVD. We're going to take some more callers real quick. 90.3 FM, you're on live with Teddy Pendergrass. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Carol, calling from Maryland.
Carol, you got to turn your radio down, baby.
I knew that.
Okay. Turn your radio down.
Yeah.
Okay, you're on with Teddy Pendergrass. What do you want to say real quick?
Hello, Teddy.
Hey, baby, how are you?
All I got to say is, whatever it is, we love it.
Oh, thank you. I
just keep
that.
It going.
So keep on loving it, baby.
All right, then. Okay, it's been real. I just want to say hello.
All right, thank you.
You got
okay,
it, baby.
Bye-bye.
90.3 FM, you're on live with Teddy Pendergrass. Hello.
Hi, Teddy. This is Star from Harlem.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. And happy Father's Day to you, Maurice.
Thank
and
you.
To Teddy.
Thank you very
I
much.
I want to know, is Teddy coming out with any of his music? Is he going to make any more music?
Am I going to?
Yes.
No, there's no real plans at this point. I've had a really, really wonderful time doing it. And I think at some point, you kind of got to leave it alone because I don't want the tail to... dog, you know what I mean?
Okay, we had to let her go. She can still hear you, Teddy, but she had a radio turned up, so I had to just remove her from the air. We was getting feedback, but go ahead.
Okay, I don't want the tail to wag the dog. So
okay.
At some point, you know, you can't better what you've already achieved, so why keep changing it, chasing it? So I kind of like to leave, you know, things alone. It's like an athlete that plays beyond their years after they have had 3 or 4 championships, and they just keep going and going until they have a bad year.
Right, right, right.
People focus on the bad year instead of...
all the good years.
There you go.
You know what my wife have a saying? If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
Don't fix it. We're going to take a few more callers. 90.3 FM, hello, you're on live with Teddy Pendergrass.
Hello, Maurice, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Who's this and where you calling from?
This is VIP1. I'm calling from the Bronx. Hello, Mr. Teddy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine.
From the Bronx, huh?
Yes. And I would like to welcome you to the Love Zone.
I've been up there in the Bronx a couple of times. It's nice up there.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry I missed it.
All right. What you want to ask him real quick and turn you ready?
I don't want to ask him. I just want to tell him that it's a pleasure, an honor to be talking to one of the greatest legends out there.
Oh,
thank you
so much. You're kind.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For calling, baby. 90.3 FM, you're online with Teddy Pendergrass.
Hello?
Hello? Turn your radio down, baby, or your computer.
Okay.
What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Reba calling from Tennessee.
All right, you're on with Teddy from Tennessee. Go ahead, Reba.
Hi, Teddy. I just wanted to say how much I love you.
Thank you, Tennessee. Where, baby?
Yes, and I got your HBOs when you did these HBO specials. I watched the tape all the time.
Thank you. Center City where? What Center City?
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. I've been there several times, too.
Yes, you have. I saw you when you were here.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
Just wanted to let you know how much we love you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks
all
for
right,
calling,
bye.
Baby.
Bye.
90.3 FM, you're on live with Teddy Pendergrass. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, who's this and where you calling from?
Sandra from New Orleans, Louisiana.
All right, go ahead. You on with the teddy bear.
Hi, Teddy.
Hi, from New Orleans, huh?
How you doing?
I love New Orleans.
You do?
Oh, absolutely. I love New Orleans.
Okay.
Isn't that how you say it? Not New Orleans. It's New Orleans, right?
New Orleans.
Oh, I thought the locals say New Orleans.
Nylons. Yeah.
Okay.
How you been doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
That's good.
And how are you?
Fine.
Good, good, good.
I was calling to find out, do you still sing Do Me?
Do I still sing Do Me?
Yes.
I won't say what I started to say. I won't say the first thing.
Go ahead, Teddy.
I realize we're on radio.
Go ahead, Teddy.
I have to restrain myself.
Mm.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
the time is right. Yes, thing to do.
All right, baby. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Andrea's on here, too.
Andrea?
She's from New Orleans, too.
All right, real quick. Andrea, go ahead. You're on with Teddy.
Hi, Teddy.
Hi, baby. How are you?
Fine. This is Andrea Clark.
I can't hear you.
He can't hear you. You're on a two-way?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not going to be able to talk to Andrea because he can't hear her due to the two-way connection already, okay?
Okay.
All right, baby. Thanks for calling. 90.3 FM. Hello. You're on live with Teddy Pendergrass.
Hello, Maurice. This is Lizzie 95 calling you now from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hello, Penny.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right.
Myrtle Beach.
Let me tell you something. Your records was in my life, most of my life, and they were played at my wedding.
Oh, that's nice. That's
and
really,
believe
really nice.
Me.
I'm glad I could be a part of your life.
Oh,
that's
yes, sure. That's
a very important time in your life, huh?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I played your record so much till I had to go buy new ones.
Oh, goodness.
Played until they got thin.
And you think, well, I'm buying new ones, huh?
That's what, even though we couldn't pull off the clothes, we pull off the records.
All right.
All right, so I-95.
You keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
And don't ever stop.
Thanks for calling, baby.
That's the way we love you. Mm. Happy Father's Day to two of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
90.3 FM, real quick, you're on with Teddy Pendergrass. Hello.
Hi, I'm Lynn from Los Angeles.
Lynn from Los Angeles. Go ahead and talk to the teddy bear.
I just want to know if Teddy still loves me.
I'm sorry? You wanted to know
I met Teddy a few years ago backstage with his manager, and he told me I was a very pretty grandmother. Do you remember that?
Back a few years ago, you met me backstage.
Mm-hmm.
With your manager, and you told her she was a very pretty grandmother.
Oh, well, absolutely. If I said it, it's because you are.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so very welcome.
I just wanted to let you know that we love what you do, and you're always...
Remember when that was?
It was, you were doing the Arms Are Too Short to Box the God
show. Oh, my God, that was back in 96, 97.
Was that one? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was almost 10 years ago. Jeez.
Yeah.
Time flies, huh?
Yeah, I would think Capitol Records.
Well, if I told you were beautiful then, I'm sure you're even more beautiful now.
I am. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Lynn.
All right.
God bless you. 90.3 FM. Hello, you're on with Teddy Pendergrass.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, man? Hey, TP.
Yo, baby.
Thank you. You keep my show alive. And you keep my show alive.
Oh, I do.
Hey, yeah. Teddy, that's Disco Al. He's the host of Mellow Madness here at WACR. He had to call in to speak to you.
Oh, no, okay.
I do it nice, slow, and mellow, baby. But you keep my show alive.
Thank you so much. I hope I keep on keeping it alive.
Somebody told me this morning on my show, they said, they mailing me panties.
Mm-mm. They mailing you panties. That's great.
Because you playing Teddy.
God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, well, I plan to. Thank you so much.
All right, Disco.
All right, yo. See you in a little.
You got it, baby. We're going to take a pause right there. You listening to my man, Mr. Teddy Pendergrass himself. Teddy, tell me, after all these years, man, I mean, you still got the love like this. How do it feel, man?
It's absolutely heartwarming, and it really makes one feel good because I'm not one that goes out to get compliments or searches for adulations. I'm very comfortable with who I am. So I spend a lot of time alone thinking, but when I do touch people and people react the way your fans and your listeners are reacting, then it just reiterates just what people think, and it really gives me a wonderful, wonderful, warm, warm feeling that I carry with me, you know, for days.
Amen.
So it's a wonderful thing. Amen. I really appreciate it.
You have a song that I love to play called One in a Million.
Mm-hmm.
You redid that song. I mean, you just took that song, Teddy, and you just whipped it, man. I mean, the strength and everything. I mean, after the accident, you came back. You still recorded album after album successful. I mean, you made your first major return on a live public appearance was probably the live age.
Yeah, absolutely. 85.
And 85. And let's go back to that day real quick. I mean, I'm sure that was from the DVD, and I've learned, you know, doing research on you, that you're a risk taker.
Yeah, I guess you would call it a risk. But I just need to answer questions for myself.
Okay.
It's believe me, it's not for the fans. I don't want that to sound, you know, sound better anyway, like it's it's self-centered, but it certainly is. I need to answer questions for my own consciousness, for my own welfare. And Live Aid was for me. I needed to know what people thought. I needed to know, would they accept me? I needed to know if I could do things. I needed to know whether or not I had lost the essence of who I am. I needed to know if I still had the same go-get-it-ness, the same aggressive spirit that I had before, because coming from being in Europe 1 week and waking up, you know, at some point not knowing where the hell I am,
mm-hmm.
or how I'm going to get from point A to point B, it's extremely devastating.
Mm.
So I needed to find out certain things for me.
Amen.
And in that trial, I learned that not only I could do it, but I also learned that people were very accepting because I took the chance, because I stepped out there, because I made an effort. In 83, a year after the accident, and the book will tell you, I was approached by Bob Krasnow, who at the point at that time was the chairman of Electro Asylum Records, who said, Teddy, if you're willing to take a chance, I'm willing to give you a chance. And that started setting the precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mindset. It's just a mindset that says you'll never know if you don't take a chance. And there's an old expression, you'll never hit a home run if you don't step to the plate.
If you don't step up to the plate.
So I've always stepped up to the plate, which is why I took a chance to go out there at 18 and go from an inner city ghetto boy to Halifax, Nova Scotia, not knowing what I was going to run into.
Hmm.
Taking a chance, not knowing what was going to happen when I left Harold, you know, in 75, when I just woke up one morning and said, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Not going to do it.
You know, and that's what I said. I'm just not going to do this anymore. You guys go ahead without me. I'm not going.
Now, you know, a lot of people... Yeah, go ahead, Teddy.
I'm sorry?
No, go right ahead. Continue.
I'm saying not knowing what was going to happen. So I don't know if it's a risk taker or just I have to stay true to who I am, and I need to know certain things for me to survive.
Hmm.
So Live Aid was for me to survive, because I could have just folded it up and just become a babbling idiot, not knowing, you know, what, who, what, when, and where, and just go lock myself in a dark room somewhere or roll off the train track somewhere. I mean, you know, it's a very serious situation. It's not a joke, and I don't take it lightly. It's very serious. So it's all about how you approach situations that happen in your life.
And mentioning the accident, since then you recover and you're still recovering. And, you know, we have a young listener from the UK that sent me a question in and wanted to know something. He said, Voice, if you don't mind, just ask him. Bearing this in mind, did he have to undergo any special training or to allow your voice to still sound so good as your past vocal skills were? This is from John Carey. What did you do to prepare yourself for this comeback?
Well, that's just a long story I just prefer not to even get into.
Okay.
Nothing just comes easy. It just happens. If you don't prepare, if you don't try, if you don't work at things, because I didn't know what skills I still had.
Mm.
I took the step when Mr. Krasnow offered the deal, I took it and didn't know whether I could do it or not. So there were steps I had to take, and I really don't want to go through itemizing it right there. My time is short.
Got you.
But what I will say is, yeah, it didn't just pop out like that. It didn't just come out. I had to work at it and had to work it while I was doing it. You know, in the process of recording the album in 83, I had to really work at it. I had to work at who I am. I had to work at me. I had to work at, you know, my inside. I had to work at my self-esteem. I had to work at a lot of things. So, again, I don't take it for granted, and I don't want anybody to take it for granted. I don't want pity, but just know it wasn't just snap your fingers and do it. It was a task.
Mm.
But it was a task I chose to take, and I chose to continue from that point on. I decided to live as opposed to just give up and die.
Amen. Amen. And living is what you're doing. New York City, we told you, he has a DVD that's available in all the local video areas. Anywhere you go into Teddy Pendergrass.
National, not just local, all the Targets, all the towers, all the Best Buys.
Everywhere.
At Disco. It's available at all local and national CD and DVD outlets.
Now, this is a live concert DVD from 1979. Who knows? If you were there, who knows? You may be caught on camera somewhere. But I consider it to be a collector's item because it's, to me, Teddy doing what he do at his best. You also get a special interview, candid interview with Teddy back there. So things you didn't get answered today. Like he said, some things are in the book, but a whole lot is in the DVD for sure, Teddy.
The most important thing is what happens on the DVD. And also, there's a DVD that was released, which was an 02, a 202 concert I did live from Los Angeles called From Teddy With Love. That's probably still available as well. That was a live concert because I had gone on tour for a while. And that's a live concert. I was recorded in Los Angeles back in 2002. So that might even be available, but certainly between the two, get busy. You need to know.
You need to know, and the only way to find out is to get them, for sure. Real, I spoke to your girl, and she's my girl. We've been cool tight since last year. She was on my show. I'm talking about the one and only Stephanie Mills. I spoke to her today.
Yeah, that's my baby.
That's your baby. Tell me real brief before you leave out, how did you guys get together? And I mean, you recorded a love song, Feel the Fire, that if no one didn't know any better, Teddy, we would swear you was married, man.
A lot of people thought we had a relationship. A lot of people thought that because of the chemistry that we have, professional chemistry, and just the depth of our friendship is, I mean, we're deep. We're really, really good friends, but no. We were married in terms of trying to make sure that people believed the lyrics, and that's what I was telling the other brother. People have to believe it.
Have to
if they don't believe it, then what's the point?
Amen.
And unfortunately, in a lot of today's music, the kids sing the words, but there's no meaning, there's no feeling, there's no, you know, it doesn't make the hair on your arm stand up. You know what I mean? It's kind of like they sing it and they do a lot of acrobats.
Tell them, Teddy, tell them.
And do a lot of singing and riffing, and but, you know, you don't believe that what they're singing, that they believe it.
And you can't feel it. You can't feel it, and you were a master at doing that. You were one of the masters.
Oh, we put the fire together.
Amen, amen.
All right, my brother.
I'm not going to hold you up, Ted. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate the call.
I appreciate the interest, and please tell all the fans. I said I appreciate them, and we're going to keep on going as long as we can. And please, everybody, step out and go to your local and national outlets and get that DVD. It will be worth your time, your effort, and your dollar. I promise.
That's the teddy bear, y'all. Take care, Teddy.
All right.
Stay healthy, and I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Bye-bye, Murray.
God bless. That's the man, the one and only, Mr. Teddy Pendergrass. I know a lot of you are used to our interviews going about an hour or so longer, but he was short for time, and we gave you the best that we could give you in that short time. I hope you enjoyed it as we continue on right here on 90.3 Love FM. Only you.
What I need, you got what I want. Only you.
Once again, I want to thank Mr. Teddy Pendergrass for appearing on the Love Zone. That's my job, to continue bringing you the real artists here, from here to your living room, baby. I want to thank my girl Stephanie Mills, who was on with us last year, and she made the connection. She said, "You want Teddy, I'll get you Teddy." Thank you, Stephanie, baby. We love you. Now, let's do what we do best.
She told me, stayed in my head. All night long, you wanted me to love you. When you said, simply reach out and touch me.